Where is David? I saw him.
Yeah, he's talking.
Okay. Okay. Kristen, are you ready? Tell me when to go. Oh, we're live? Okay. All right, boom. All right, we're bringing this Budget and Finance Committee meeting to order. We will hear from our representative from the Grand Treasurer's Office on a financial report.
Wow, off the bat. January, I don't really know what to report on this. We're kind of starting all over. You can look in your packets and see if there's any questions that you have, and I will try to answer them. This is kind of last minute. Scott is sick tonight, so I'm just filling in.
Justice, any questions? All right. Seeing none, thank you so much. All right, we'll roll on to, let's see, proposed ordinance 26-01. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 26-01 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. I think the only, let's see, Section 18 is a big grant. Maybe either our administrator or judge, if you can speak to maybe Section 16, the $100,000 transfer in the road shop, or I forgot Tom was here as well. Okay, awesome. Tom, I was reading, I got in my mail our legislative audit report for 2023. And I guess the only thing that really caught my attention as I was going through that is this, the fact that the county had, I guess in 2023, had one loan, and that was for a road grader, I guess.
It's a lease?
Yeah, okay. So that's not a, okay.
Yeah, we don't make any loans.
Okay, that's sounds good. That's all I was curious about. Thank you. Justices, any more questions on 26-01? All right, all in favor of passing 26-01 onto full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Let's see, do I have a motion for our next ordinance?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to put proposed ordinance 26-02 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. This is for our jail expansion funding, and I think I may turn over the reins to our county administrator for a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a 72-slide presentation, but I'll go through it briefly. No, just kidding. I have a few slides, and if you will, Mr. Chair, just to indulge a little bit, the two ordinances kind of go together.
Yep.
So I know you have one on the floor, but I'll be addressing both of them.
That sounds great.
As we go
Thank
through
you.
This. So I have the presentation. So what we're going to do is talk about the detention center we're ready to start moving forward with it. It's time for the money. So we've put it out for bid. We have contracts that have been let. We're negotiating contracts, terms and conditions through the county attorney's office. We have some ARP funding that we'll be using, so we have to have ARP language in the terms and conditions, and those are being filtered through both the county attorney's office and with Tom as the ARP administrator. So that is where we're working at, but we actually have to have money to pay for this, and we've been talking about it, you know, for a number of years. So, again, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to back up just a little bit, because when we get to the full court next week, well, even here tonight, we're going to have some JPs who were not here in 2019 when we first started talking about this. So I'm not going to go into great detail, but I do want to back up just a little bit so we can put this in perspective. This particular slide is one that I pulled from a slide that I have shown the Quorum Court a number of times as we have worked on this project, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but I did want to share with you that we just didn't decide one day, hey, let's build a jail. That's not really how that worked. In 2019, the Quorum Court at the time formed There's the Faulkner County passed the ordinance establishing the Faulkner County Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee. So that's what that was. So that's a legitimate committee that we formed. And you can see the list here of who comprised that. There was a district judge that was selected, a circuit court judge, a local corrections officer, the prosecuting attorney at the time, the sheriff was involved, the police chief from the city of Conway, and then a police chief from one of the smaller communities within Faulkner County. A justice of the peace, which was the chair of the courts and public safety committee at the time, medical profession, medical health profession, officer within the Department of Community Corrections. These people met for well over a year on a regular basis to discuss what can we do other than build a jail in our community. And they did come up with some ideas. One thing that we kind of take for granted now that really came from this committee was community service time that you see our district judges use when we need to build sandbags during a flood situation, or when we need help during bad weather, or when trash pickup and those kinds of things, that allows a lot of these people who are sentenced, instead of sending them to jail, let their work their time off in community service time, and in times of extreme need, really help them accelerate the use of that time by working together. That's an example of what came from this committee. But also part of it, what came from, is we do have some issues in our current detention process with our Unit 1 and Unit 2 with the classifications of inmates. We have Unit 1 that will hold maximum security inmates, and when you classify inmates from 1 to 10, and I'm really speaking way out ahead of my skis because we have experts at the Sheriff's Department that can speak to this much more than I can, but we have classifications with, say, 10 being the most felony inmates, usually 8 or 9. These are going to be your murderers and rapists and those who commit violent crimes. And then in Unit 2, we have those that are less, people who maybe need to work off traffic violations or maybe have hot checks or those kind of things. And do you really want to mix criminals who are classified as 1 and 2 with criminals who are classified as 9 and 10? And we can do 1, 2s, and 3s, and we can do 8s and 9s, but we are challenged with our facilities with the 4, 5s, and 6s. Where do we put them? Do we put them in the high end or we put them in the low end? And it really ties the hands up of our sheriff's office, and we get a report on a monthly basis from the sheriff's office that shows that our maximum security is consistently overpopulated and our minimum security is consistently underpopulated. And the question is, well, why don't you just move them around so that they're evened out? It's because you can't mix and match. That's the challenge that we have. So anyway, a lot of that came from this committee. I'm not going to go any further, but just to show you that we've been working on this since before January 2019. It was really in 2019 that we formalized the approach to what are we going to do with our detention program. So here we are. We've talked about it through ARP funding. When we started determining how we were going to distribute our ARP funding. The Coram Court determined that a part of that, a big part of that, was going to be to fund a new detention facility. So we're at that point now. So we have a project team. The architect for the project we've been working with is Clemens Rutherford and Associates. Will Rutherford is currently the president of the organization. We initially started dealing with his father, Bill. Bill and Will. Bill has since retired, but we've pretty much been working with Will throughout this project. A great architect to work with. They specialize in detention projects. We have hired a construction manager, Nabholz Construction out of Conway. They will be helping us with this construction manager part of the project. They've already proved to be very valuable in working with. Mike Armstrong is the project executive. Chad Campbell's who we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And then Mike Schiestel will be the project foreman on site on a daily basis when we break ground. The Faulkner County team, Tom Anderson and I will be working together on this. We were talking the other day, this, and I'll talk about it further, but we have estimated for this project to be about $21 million, the largest capital project that Faulkner County government has ever undertaken. So Tom and I both have areas of expertise. Tom was actively engaged with building the Justice Building, and so I have experience in dealing with commercial buildings in my previous role. But we're sharing this together. Also from the Sheriff's Department, Chief Deputy Chad Woolley, and then Captain Doug Hunter, who's the jail administrator. We collaborate. Remember, we've got meetings scheduled week after next where all of us will be working together. And I can't brag enough on the relationship, working relationship that the Sheriff's Department and the judge's office has through this project. And I'll just get over here and see if I can get a nod from the sheriff on that and the judge. But this has really been a great working team, and that's important that we work together on this. So I'll talk a little bit about, one other thing. This is a letter that y'all can't read. I know you can't read this, but I wanted to show you this, that this is actually the approval notice from the state of Arkansas that we received when we did our plans and before we put them out for bid. We sent them to, in short, Standards, jail Standards is who we sent them to. We've been working with Sterling Penix all the way through the project. He was engaged with our committee that was involved in this, and they actually wrote a letter back endorsing our program and saying that it meets their standards and for us to be able to move forward. So that's important, too, that we've taken it to the state level. So, again, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes activities that the Coram Court doesn't often see, and I wanted to bring some of this up so you could see about what is going on and the level of really oversight that we've had before we break ground on this project. So for those that don't know where the project is, we talk about where it's going, and we actually talked about what we're even going to call the thing. I was calling it Unit 3 for a while, but really we determined that since it is going to be attached to Unit 2, that this will be Unit 2 Max. So this will be primarily the maximum security facility. So if you look at this, you can see where the Justice Building is. Everybody knows where the Justice Building is. That's where we have met for 7 or 8 months while this room was being remodeled. So the Justice Building, behind the Justice Building is Unit 2. So that is the minimum security facility. And then where the red square is, that is where Unit 2 Max will be sitting. Currently, all of that that's shown in the drawing there, that is evidence of various products. There's cars, other vehicles, stolen vehicles that is in a secure fenced-in area. We'll be moving that to the back fence, and we actually have a pad being engineered now that we'll be putting back there so that we can move that evidence there and still have it in a secure area during the construction phase. Just a little bit closer, this is about the footprint of Unit 2 Max. It will have a capacity, I'll talk about that further, but it has a capacity of 256 inmates. Unit 2 has a bed capacity of about 300 total, men and women. 300. And so you look at that, it's like, wow, why is Unit 2 so much larger than Unit 2 Max? And there's a good reason for that. And I've got to give kudos to Coram Courts from even before my time on the court and to the sheriff at the time, but they built infrastructure into Unit 2, infrastructure such as kitchens, laundries, other things, because they knew that at some point we will have to expand Unit 2. And so they built that so that so as we're looking at Unit 2 Max, we're not having to build additional kitchen capacity because we already have it there. So that's saving us at this point. So, again, thank you, Quorum Court, from when Unit 2 was built, for thinking that far ahead and having a little bit of vision, and we're reaping the benefits of that now. I also wanted to show you that not only are we talking about building Unit 2 Max, but we're talking about strategy for the next potentially 10, 15, or 20 years. So what this drawing shows, you can see where Unit 2 Max is, so that's going to be the orangish area. We also have capability for future expansion. So it's like, Randy, are we already talking about building Unit 4 or Unit 5? No, but just like that Quorum Court did 15 years ago by building extra kitchen capacity and laundry capacity and being prepared for the future, we're not just going to drop Unit 2 Max in the middle of the lot and say, here we are, and not think about what's going to happen in our future. We know that at some point, maybe we won't have to, but maybe at some point we'll have to do a future expansion. And if we do, we've made provisions for where that would be. Also, you see there in the bottom rectangle, that is a proposed where the sheriff's department will go. So as we close down Unit 1, so I want to be clear, part of the plan is when we open Unit 2 Max, Unit 1 will be decommissioned, except for the ground floor, and that's where the sheriff's department is located and juvenile. As we work our financial plan to pay off Unit 2 Max, the next phase of this will be to move the sheriff's department and juvenile on this campus. The big benefit of that is that gets all of our law enforcement and detention facilities on one campus. That way we don't have them seven or eight blocks apart, transferring back and forth, and the logistics and the safety considerations of moving inmates back and forth to get them to court and to move them around everything. This will get them all in one location. So this is just showing the strategic planning that we have going forward as we work through this project. So some fast facts about this. The new facility, Unit 2 Max, has a 256-bed capacity. The design of it supports manpower efficiency. So Unit 1 currently has has the bed design capacity of 118. Again, if we look at the Sheriff's Department reports, we know that it regularly is housing more than 118. But we believe, and the design is supporting, that we can actually maintain 256 beds without an increase or without a significant increase in manpower for the Sheriff's Department, just by the way it's designed. The design allows more flexibility for inmate classification. So here's the deal. We thought about me putting a floor plan up and showing you guys the floor plan of the jail. And then I just got to tell you, the sheriff and the county judge spanked me pretty heavy on it. It's like, we're not going to put up on YouTube the floor plan of the jail. We're just not going to do it. But sitting JPs, if at any point you would like to see the plans, I have copies in my office. You guys are welcome to come and look at it. But we are using a hub-and-spoke method. And it is designed so that the Sheriff's Department can move inmates around. So as we have a high capacity of category 9 and 10s, we can make room for that. As potentially the 9 and 10 categories move down, just basically, and we have a higher capacity of 5 or 6s, we can move the population around within the jail so that we can accommodate that. That is something we've not been able to do in Unit 1 and Unit 2 to this point. That's designed on purpose. Estimated project construction time is 16 months. And this is just interesting, but 60% of the subcontractors for this are actually from Faulkner County. That was on purpose. I mean, we were looking forward to help our local economy and help our local one, but there were a few trades that honestly in a jail this size just weren't in Faulkner County, and so we had to seek places elsewhere. So here's really the fun one. This is the financial overview that I kind of want to walk you through. So the initial project estimate, target estimate when we started on this was $21 million. This is what we presented to the Quorum Court some time ago when we were talking about using ARP money, the capital expenditure money and all that. And this is the number that we had to work our plan from to get there. Good news is our post-bid estimate. So we've put it out for bid. The bids have come in at right at 19.5. So a significant reduction there of about $1.5 million over what we thought we were working at. So I'm pleased with that. I don't want to go too far out on a limb, but we're talking about doing some value engineering, and we have meetings next week. The goal is, I'll put it that way, the goal is to trim a little bit more off of that. So, I know how this works. If I turn and tell you guys, yeah, we can bring this in at $19 million maybe, y'all will hold me to this, 16 months from now. And so I don't know that, but that is what our goal is. And I think that we have the team in place that's really going to manage this tight to work towards reducing the number. But 19.5 is what we're looking at right now. So we're pleased with that number. Our concern is that we put it out for bid and it come in at 22 or, 21.9 or something like that. So 19.5 is a good number. So the numbers on the right, this is how we're planning on paying for it. So we have $7.577 million in capital improvement. Again, Coram Court, back in the day when we paid off the Justice Building, we were paying about $1 million a year towards the Justice Building to pay it off. Well, when we paid it off, there's debate in that in the Coram Court at the time. So, okay, we've paid that off. What do we do with that $1 million we've been paying off? And the Coram Court passed an ordinance to establish a capital improvement fund and sequester $1 million a year for future capital improvement. At that time, we didn't know what that would look like, and there were some arguments. Why are we setting $1 million aside? We don't even know what we're talking about. Fortunately, the Court did that, and that was a very wise decision, and it has accumulated to $7.5 million, and so that's going to be helpful. ARP replacement fund, $5.659 million, so that's what we're looking at there. The next number is ARPA interest. Thank you, Scott Sampson. He deserves the credit for this, for investing our money wisely, and we have $2.2 million and some change of interest that we're able to apply to this job as well. And then we have the capability, Amendment 78 money, for a five-year loan. And we have, that's the second ordinance that you guys will be talking about tonight. We're requesting Coram Court approval for us to invest in that Amendment 78. How that works is we're allowed to borrow as much as we can pay back in 5 years. So we know that we have a capital improvement fund that we sequester how much? $1 million a year for 5 years, so that's $5 million. That's where that number came from. So our goal is to use ARP money first, because we know that there's a time limit on the ARP money before it runs out, and we feel like we're in good shape with that. Then we'll start using our capital improvement money, and then as we get down into the project, we'll start looking at loan money. Will we borrow the whole $5 million? Not if we don't need it. If we get down to the job and we only need $2 million or $3 million, that is what we will borrow. And we're motivated to borrow as little as possible. Obviously, we want to pay interest. But we also know as soon as we borrow whatever money and pay that off, that's when we can start working on phase two, which is moving the Sheriff's Department and Juvenile over, because we want to get that going as soon as possible as well. So we also have an additional, during the construction period, an additional $1 million in 2027 that will be included. But not even counting that, you can see by using the capital improvement, ARPA replacement, ARPA interest, and a potential five-year loan, we have $20.5 million, which is $1 million more than the 19.5. And then if we add the 2027 capital improvement set aside, that gets us to $21.5 million. So we are comfortable that we have a fiscal plan that will get us to where we need.
So, Randy, if I could ask a question.
Hang on a second. Wait till the next slide.
Okay. All right. That'd be good. The previous slide is based on that. Just to understand. So the capital improvement, 7.577, that is what we currently have in there now? Or is that what we're projected to have by the end of the year? I can't remember.
That does include the 2026 number.
That does. Okay, that's all. Yes. I wanted to clarify that. Thank
yes.
You.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back over you and field questions.
First of all, thank you so much for all the hard work y'all have done. I know this is not an easy thing. And like you said, the judge's office executes contracts. It's the sheriff's jail. He runs the jail, but the judge's office owns everything and executes contracts. So it takes a very close working relationship between you and the sheriff to get this done. And I really appreciate that relationship that y'all have to move this forward in a way that makes us all feel better and not have to, because I know not all counties are that fortunate, you know, to have great partnerships. And there's a lot of work that went into this, and this has been, I know, years in the making, and I know it's a big lift for y'all's office as well, both of y'all's offices to execute on, like you, what you said, the largest capital improvement project that this county has undergone. And that's on the heels of this building, the animal shelter, the road shop, everything we have going on. Go ahead. That's a big whopping load of icing on the cake. Yeah. I'll open it up to Justice Coates. You have your
question.
You're lit up.
I know the loan will have interest that, you know, will go out to bidders. Do we know when those bids will go out, or have they come back? Any estimate on what the interest rate will be?
No. No, well, we have to have your permission, which is what this ordinance is tonight.
Before we can put it out.
Before we can go out. So we had a meeting, Tom and I had a meeting with Scott, with our county treasurer, and we've already discussed an outline of how we will approach this, of where we will go to look for money. So we have a plan, but before we could take the next step, we need the Quorum Court's permission to actually do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Question on the ARPA revenue replacement. I'm guessing that is what is already set aside based on the other funding. Is that correct, I guess?
Yes. So a little bit of a reminder. So when we initially set out the distribution of the ARPA funding, we set aside $5 million. And then the court kind of did a gentleman's agreement. I don't know if we formalized it or not, but pretty much as we started working through these projects, we were going to pick up the nickel and dimes left over. So let's say that we've got another project somewhere else and there's $1,000 left over. What do we do with that? We all agreed that we would put it in the fund for the jail, that any overage or any unused money that we had. And so, and then there's some interest in here as well, but basically we've added about $659,000 to the $5 million that we initially set aside. I couldn't tell you where that $659,000 came from. Tom might be able to. I don't want to put him on the spot. But the point is, it's not been a secret that we would put all of our overages into towards the jail so that we can borrow less money. The whole goal of all this is to borrow as little money as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And a follow-up question to that is, as we get closer to the end of the year, and if there is any other money that happens to be unspent and does not look like, for whatever reason, it's going to be spent, can we move that money over into the jail fund?
Yeah, that absolutely is part of the plan.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
And here's the deal. Again, I don't want to speak for Tom, but we're wrapping up all of the other ARPA projects, and we don't know where they're all going to come in at yet, and that's part of his duty this year, is to get to that. And again, we call that picking up the nickels and dimes, and those nickels and dimes will be applied to this project. What we don't want to do is give any money back to the feds.
Yeah. Any other questions? I know this was a big issue when I came onto the court in 2019, which was jail overcrowding and everything else. And here we are on the precipice of hopefully 16, 18 months away from being able to fix it. So I'm very happy and proud of the county and the Quorum Court for strategically budgeting so that we could do this without a tax increase. There's not another county in the state that's doing this or can do it. So very, very proud of this moment here. All right, any other questions from Justice?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Higgins, thank you so much. All in favor of passing 26-02 onto full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. And then can we get a motion on our last ordinance?
Make a motion to put proposed ordinance 26-03 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right. Let's see. This is the ordinance that allows the judge's office to pursue a loan of up to $5 million. Like you said, we put $1 million back every year into capital improvement. Those are the funds. Worst case scenario, those are the funds we use to pay off the loan. We always end the year with extra carryover funds as well, so that's a possibility of using those to pay this off as well. If we, if like Mr. Higgins said, if we do have to even take the loan, you know, and at what amount. So any questions, justices? All in favor of passing 26-03 onto full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Justices, any more business before the Budget and Finance Committee? You good? Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, not related to tonight, but I would like to add that we have our tablets that we're using tonight. Kristen and I, next week before quorum court, anybody that wants to show up 10 or 15 minutes before the meeting, we'll do kind of a hands-on training and move around. But, you know, I walked around tonight to most of you and showed you, and it's relatively simple. But anyway, we're going to offer that before the quorum court meeting next week if anybody would like to come in just for a few minutes of hands-on training.
Sounds good.
We want to make this as useful as possible.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you for this. Push the button too early. Meeting adjourned.